We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Players spent a cool $21.4 billion in their favorite games in Q2 of this year, and that number shows no signs of slowing. But how do you make sure your players continue to invest in your game and stay loyal? My guest Hunter Bulkeley from Tilting Point tells us how you can do both, one, by designing for retention, and two, by aligning your game mechanics with real-world charities and causes. All this and more in episode number 470. Welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, and founder of Mobile Groove. Today, bringing you a mini-series on retention marketing powered by CleverTap, which is headquartered in Mountain View with offices in Mumbai, Singapore, and Dubai. CleverTap is a modern integrated retention cloud that empowers digital consumer brands to increase customer retention and lifetime value. And as I said, every 2 weeks, we bring you tips and advice from marketers, experts, and major brands who trust CleverTap to achieve their retention and engagement goals. Speaking of goal, here we are. We have reached episode number 470. My goal is we just continue to go around in round numbers. I love them. I also love to celebrate other news, eye-watering data that you may or may not have seen from Data AI app Annie that says spend on mobile gaming apps has hit or is recorded at roughly $21.4 billion in Q2 alone. Again, riding that tide, we're going to look at mobile gaming as well. As I said, it's an app vertical set to hit a new record, probably just did, but it's also a crowded and noisy space where marketers need to do more with less and fill the funnel with what they're doing, which is getting more out of their budget, but also thinking outside of the box to keep players loyal. So we have strategies for both scenarios and more because my guest represents Tilting Point. Tilting Point is a company that employs innovative and data-driven approaches to game development and user acquisition. My guest today is a senior product manager at Tilting Point. He's adept at driving mobile games to maximize their potential, and he's highly skilled at working with international and multicultural teams and studios. He has experience in gaming design and marketing at a number of gaming studios, and he's going to share how he designs for player loyalty and retention. Welcome, Hunter Buckley from Tilting Point. Well, great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Peggy. It's wonderful to see you again.
Exactly. It's two in a row here. It's not that long ago. I met up with you face-to-face at MAU. Which was interesting for us in the industry, right? It was the world's biggest acquisition and retention show, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's been a pretty crazy time since then, jumped between Barcelona and New York, so I'm a little bit jet lagged. So forgive me if I don't make complete sense some of the time, but I'll do my best.
That's okay. So it was, as I said, that kind of show, really important. What was your biggest impression or learning from the show? I'm just curious.
I think it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of meeting between a lot of vendors, because as gaming sort of development side of things, we always end up going to those shows and meeting with a whole bunch of different vendors. So that's usually most of what I get is takeaway from them, is who's doing what and what's interesting going on. And I think a little bit biased because we use Lean Plum and you guys are sponsored by Lean Plum, but I'm really interested in seeing what Lean Plum and CleverTap are doing together now with their Tesseract DB, meeting up with it later this week to sort of interrogate the Meon a little bit more details out of that stuff. But it sounds like the movement of getting data around more efficiently at lower costs and more real-time responsiveness is going to be a big boon for a lot of what I do.
Yeah, and to your point, Tesseract DB, that was the launch, that was the news for CleverTap and Lean Plum, CleverTap now acquired Lean Plum. At MAL, we'll of course have a show just about that. And since you're so curious, maybe we'll have you back to talk about that as well. But for right now, I want to stay with the gaming vertical. I mean, it's no news to you. You're just like, oh, 21 billion, 22 billion. It's, you know, it's all good.
It's just another week. Yeah. It's been booming for years. I've loved the fact that, like, I've talked to my friends and family before COVID. I was like, working gaming on, like, mobile gaming on your phones and stuff. And they were like, what is that? What do you mean? I was like, Candy Crush, just think Candy Crush. And now I go to people, I'm like, oh yeah, I work in mobile gaming. And they're like, Dad, yes, that's genius. It's wonderful. It's taken off so much. And I'm like, yes, thank you, COVID. A little bit. As terrible as it is.
Yeah, but it has, you know, our behaviors have changed. We are gamers. You know, I did the research and looked at it, you know, all the demographics. You never thought everyone is a gamer, because that's what we had to do. We had to find new ways to use our time. So marketers have to do more with less. Companies have to do more with less. Now, that can mean doubling down to make fewer mistakes in the early stages of the product. Or it can also mean just being smarter about how you keep users, players coming back. In your opinion, because you do know about design, that's part of your remit, how can a gaming company design better for retention?
Thanks, Pete. I think it's an interesting situation. So the marketing landscape has been totally blown up with IDFA and all the different things we've just heard about, fingerprinting with Apple basically getting deprecated and no longer being used. So that's a huge blow to the MMPs. And there's a lot going on, a lot shifting on that side. So the user acquisition teams and the marketing teams have a hell of a day. So the product teams really need to come in and help them out more with building apps and products that can actually retain users that we acquire. And so I think what we're going to end up looking at is games that are much more geared towards two things, either building a game that is able to be marketed to anyone, and anyone can download it. So you just can advertise it without needing specific targeting. Those are obviously very hard to make and very general and usually very difficult. Or making a game that is just going to retain users incredibly deeply. Obviously, the ideal game is both of those two things, but you need to add in much more longer-term systems. And so I think you're going to see the casual market, any game companies that have been sort of in between those two, the sort of middle ground of mid-core of, oh, we'll just make money off of users for 90 days, 180 days, or so on. The LTV is going to need to push out for take year, 2 years, 3 year LTV payback times is what we're going to need to look at in order to market effectively. And so those are going to be the games that survive, the games that can afford the super high CPIs we're going to stare at, or can just market to everyone more effectively and don't rely on that niche market. And so anyone in the middle is sort of going to get squeezed out, I think, or only have a very small following in that niche market. And so it's all about building systems that work to support that long term. And what those systems are a huge variety. But I think it boils down to depth of economy and content to a degree, depending on what game. I mean, Candy Crush, you look at it, has 3,000, 5,000, I've lost count, so many levels that you can play Candy Crush for 2 years and still have more to play. So you need to come out with large amounts of content and have a clear, concise content pipeline that you can maintain for long term without absurd amount of effort on your end. So when you're building the product, you need to keep that content pipeline in mind now more than ever to keep costs down low so that you can keep producing it and so you can stay ahead of your users and retain them, especially with their first golden cohort, because you may not get another golden cohort like that. And so you want to, every user that you get needs to be perfect and needs to be retained as long as possible. So content pipeline, keeping that in mind, keeping that 3-year payback time in mind as well. And yeah, I think everyone sort of in the middle range that isn't doing that stuff is going to get squeezed.
There you go. If you're in the middle, you're going to be squeezed unless you have a content pipeline, as you said. Let's dive a little deeper into that, Hunter. Content pipeline, is that just like ongoing narrative and storyline for your game, or is it something more than that? Help me understand what that is first.
So it'll depend on your game, naturally, but there's sort of a division of two different things in my head. There's feature design and development, and then there's the content design and development. It depends on the game type and studio, which one's more important or which one's working. But they usually are two sort of parallel tracks. Sometimes it's like the live ops one and the feature development one. That can be how it's divided up. But think about it in terms of gaming-wise, it's the content, which is different than games, different than a lot of different apps. You don't think about content in terms of travel apps, for example, or dating apps. It's just about number of users and number of opportunities on the app. But in gaming, it's about making sure there's enough of a game for people to keep playing. And so when you've played a game for 60 days, you don't want to be running out of content because then you won't have anything to do. And so a content pipeline is the base content of the game. So in a match-free game, it's the levels that are designed. So remember, if you play Candy Crush, you hit the play button, there's a level, that board is custom designed by some madman locked in a room, and all the mechanics in it are designed, and they have to pump out 20 of those per week, at least, in order to stay in front of their end users who are beating the levels. Because you don't want that user to reach the end of content, because if the user reaches the end of content, they stop playing, or they'll stop playing for a few days, and then there's a much lower chance for them to come back. And so you need every day for there to be something. And so that's match-free, but a content pipeline can involve the basically design work in order to construct the content. In a match-free game, that's a level designer. The engineering work in order to integrate any new mechanics for that content. So a new mechanic at a match-free level to keep things interesting and spicy, to keep players involved. Any new art required for that. Not as relevant sometimes for match-free level, but if you're designing like a new world in a cooking level, for example, our game SpongeBob Krusty Cook-Off, you involve the art team needs to design the new kitchen, the new world, the new backgrounds for the levels. And it could also involve narrative design as well on the new stories. You can contrast that with feature development, which is still the same sort of players involved, engineers, designers, so on. But these are more longer term systems. For example, I think a good example, they could be things like a new guild system, which creates social play, entire new game mode that may have different mechanics and different progression to the main game. It may be a boss battle in an RPG game. Things like this that are completely new systems and usually require completely new code. Whereas in the content pipeline, you want to make sure that it's as streamlined and easy as possible to reduce the amount of work. You're working on existing things. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the two divisions. And you need both in order to retain users for a long time. You need the new content coming out to keep them sort of at that base level interest. And then the new features will introduce deeper systems, deeper monetization, deeper engagement pools for you to put more content into. And also add in new sort of touch points and keep the game changing and be interesting so that they're not getting bored. Mm-hmm. Because if you're playing 5,000 the same level with no new, nothing new going on, you're going to want to switch out.
Exactly. They're going to switch out. And you do this at Tilting Point with the games that you work with, as well as the ones that you're working with developers, because you realize that retention is a moving target. So improvements that move the needle today might not last. What have you done to create or achieve the biggest uplift? Can you give us some best practice based on that?
Yeah. So I think the biggest uplift I've ever personally achieved was when we introduced these limited time events into our game, Terra Genesis. Mm-hmm. And so Terra Genesis is a terraforming game that we acquired some years ago. Really amazing game, gets an absurd amount of downloads, really appeals to a lot of people. But we had a long-term retention problem because there was just no long-term content in the game. And due to some design mix-ups early on and some promises we'd made to the players, we couldn't just introduce new content in a standard way, at least not in a monetizing way. And so we were sort of in this trap position of figuring out what we needed to do. And so we introduced limited time events, which answered problems in the game, which were we needed to find a way to add in new content. So these were new levels that would come around for 48 hours and the player would have to play through them within that time frame, and terraform a planet in a certain way. So it introduced new content. It changed the game mechanics, or changed the victory goal. Before, the only goal was make a planet perfect. Here it was make it into this Earth-like perfect place, which gets boring after a while. Here we could be like, okay, make this into a lava planet. Make this into a drain all the water out of this planet. Adapt to these sort of different circumstances in a much more engaging way that sort of gave the user a difference in kind, a break from the main standard content. And so it also put a time pressure on them so that they had to strategically plan and highly engage during these periods. And I think we saw a good about 20% D30 retention uplift, which we were very happy with, obviously. And we were able to extend our LTV another 30 days as a result of that as well in terms of targets. So we pushed the LTV back, we increased the retention. So just giving these users this more content in a time-limited way to put pressure on them and engage them on interesting things worked very well for us.
It's interesting because people say, you know, you have to appeal to certain behaviors, certain elements of why and when we play games in the first place. So you've appealed to the FOMO, right? We have a limited period of time. If we don't do it, something isn't quite right. We have that time window, and at the same time, switching it up so we're not bored. So that makes a lot of sense in progressing a user, a player through the stages of the game. We do have to go to break right now, Hunter, but when I come back, I want to talk about one of your coolest games, one of them, many of them, and also about what you're doing to inspire, not just loyalty, but real interest, real excitement around the game, which I think you've done really well with some mechanics. So we're going to talk about both of these. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back after the break.
Tuned.
For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Welcome back to Mobile Presence. We have my guest today, Hunter Bulkley. He is Senior Product Manager at Tilting Point. And Hunter, before the break, we were talking about mechanics, behaviors, all the things you need to appeal to or understand in order to keep your players playing, keep them coming back, increase that LTV. That's the metric you're watching. So it's clear you have to have new ideas. You have to be pursuing innovation. You have to be constantly reinventing. And at Tilting Point, you do this and more. You have some great examples out in the wild. Tell us about one of those examples where you're saying, yep, this is where we are pushing the envelope and where it's paying off.
So it's a lot of fun because we're doing a lot of different things in a lot of different areas. Not all of which I can always talk about, which is always fun. Like I've got a new game coming out in the next few months that I would love to be able to say a whole bunch about, but I can't until it's actually launched and there's more data out there in a while, but something cool is hopefully coming. And then we're doing other stuff on the Web3 side. But again, none of that stuff is fully live yet, other than the fact that we've announced that we're doing something.
You're not going to get away that quickly.
We'll damn, I was hoping I could avoid it a second appearance. But the stuff that is interesting that we can sort of talk about is we've done a lot of work, me in particular, with various charities, in particular tree planting and reforestation. With our game Terragenesis, we've done some work with Hungry Children on our SpongeBob game as well. But that's some sort of one of those things that we're trying to push and trying to push a lot of our games towards this social responsibility and sort of give back to the rest of the community. And I think it's something that we're seeing a lot in gaming pushing towards as well. Like we're collaborating with the UN most recently and the Green Game Jam with the Playing for the Planet initiative. And that had, I think, like 50 game studios participate in it this year, up from like 16 last year, where like Ubisoft, Pixelbytes, a whole bunch of different small, large, massive, everyone in between, all gathered together and for a period of time did something to help plant trees. I think in total it planted 448,000 trees as of last count, but some integrations are still coming in as well over time. So that's one of the things that we're really pushing into.
That is exciting. I mean, because you think about, okay, we're going to talk about mechanics or something that, you know, pushes the envelope, drives loyalty. No, you drive change with your games. What does that mean to how you encourage, you know, engage, message to the players? Because it's about sustainability, but it's also about, again, you know, appealing to those behaviors. So you can't just say, hey, come on out and do good. Maybe you can. is there a way that you have to do that differently? Because you've also written in the past that, you know, messaging is always the hardest part.
Yeah. So I think just digging into it would help to explain what the heck we actually did and do, other than, you know, plant trees somewhere, which I did not personally walk out and go get with a shovel and start planting a bunch of trees. What we did was we partnered with a service called Ecology on basically that has a tree planting API, hooked it into our game, and we have a feature in-game where every time a player completes a certain series of actions or gathers up enough in-game currency, they can plant a tree in their game. And then that will send the signal to the API after we have some interference with Leanplum, which we use as our anti-cheating tech, basically segmenting out users who clearly hacked the APK with the variable system that Leanplum has that I love. Basically saying, okay, anyone who has wallets that are greater than this or anyone who's a non-payer and has this wallet, that obviously is a cheater, so don't plant those trees because my CFO would murder me if we because that's a direct impact on our, basically it grows directly into our credit card, unfortunately, and so that the tree planting is pretty instantaneously. But that's the overview of the feature, and how it's set up is the actions a player has to do in order to get these this currency for the tree planting is monetizing actions. So they usually need to basically make us some money or be retained for a long period in order to actually tree plant. And we use it as sort of a bone for long periods. And so you have to watch an ad, for example. You need to buy an IAP. You need to complete this difficult limited time event. And so that way there's actually no cost on our side. It's the cost is sort of paid on to the player or the advertiser who's showing the ad in the game. And we use it sort of that way to keep the feature going on forever so that I never have to justify to my CEO and CFO, hey, we've spent $5,000 in tree planting this month. Why did we do that? Do we need to cut the budget? When I can say back, oh, no, because the budget actually is just determined by how much the players watch ads and monetize and gain. That's what's determining it. And so that's the situation there. That's how the feature's set up. But the biggest difficulty, I think, with this feature and what we've encountered with the Green Game Jam overall and what I'm digging into with them, is how to message it with the players and how to communicate it with them. So obviously, we can show them a lot of interstitials and we can push in front of them, but it's making sure they understand that these aren't trees in the actual game. It's extending beyond the game into real life, because you have so many different things going on when you're a player in your face all the time. And making sure not only that we have to educate you on this new feature, but also that the feature goes beyond the game into the real world is that difficult thing. So what we do is we'll send you an interstitial with Lean Plum, this custom interstitial style that we do. That just runs you through the system, basically one of your first sessions. And then later on, when you've acquired enough currency for the first time, we'll put a tutorial in, we'll link you out in the game. We'll give you the option to see where we're actually planting the trees and see this huge forest of 570,000 trees that have been planted by Terra Genesis players over the years. It's actually funny because Ecology recently had to stop planting in Madagascar because they ran out of room. And I was just like, yes, this is good. I know. It meant the cost to plant trees went up because Madagascar was a super cheap place to plant trees. But we have reforested Madagascar, or we participated in reforesting Madagascar, which was absolutely fantastic and really awesome to hear that we managed to do that. And so, sort of how the problem is, that's the system of how we set it up in this profit neutral way. But the problem is, of course, making sure the player understands this is the real world impact, not just a cool game system that we have as sort of ancillary to everything else. And I have a lot of plans to sort of try and expand this into other games and push, but I'm working on it.
What's the appeal there? I'm just curious. Is it that players say, I want my actions in a game to count in the real world? Because we've wanted to do things for purpose for a while, but you know, hey, that's an awesome milestone. You're able to reforest, you know, Madagascar, you did it. But there's also something different maybe in how you presented it, but also how we're accepting it. I mean, tell me about that messaging, that two-way exchange or that conversation that you had.
I think that a lot of the difference between what we do and what standard has been done is a lot of the previous integrations are sort of PR headline, cash grabby, not cash grabby because there's no cash being made, but PR brief little stints that you do. Not that ours has been bad for PR, frankly, but that's sort of how they come across because of these temporary brief things you do. And they're not necessarily made to make money or even to be profit neutral because it's basically the company saying, hey, we're going to donate X amount, just play our game. That's how they come across. What we've tried to do and what I push very strongly is using standard free-to-play techniques that have built this massive gaming industry to leverage players' normal desires, because that's what gaming companies are really good at, about making players engage and care and monetize for free and have this massive pool of users. And what we do is, instead of just using that to line our own pockets, and instead of just doing this brief temporary integration, we're using those exact same techniques to build this feature and to plant all these trees independently and profit neutrally so that it'll keep going on forever as long as the game is still around. And the users can engage with it or not engage with it as they want, and so they can get behind it as well. So we have a larger user base than I think user companies used to have, and we're not doing it. It's less evidently just a cash grab and more just an integral part of the game that we've developed and introduced. And so players care about and look more because it's going to be long-term. And I think those sorts of things have set it up for more success.
Speaking of success, this was a success. You talked about it, and you also said you've done other things with, you know, with your SpongeBob game that you did about, you know, feeding the world's population. What else are you exploring? Because you can do a lot with your titles. You can make a match with a number of different purposes or charities or, you know, just the types of things that are going to lead to sustainability for you as a company, but also for players in their environment.
So I think we're exploring a lot of different things. It depends on the important thing is to find a match between the game, the players, and the cause. So the players need to care about the cause to begin with. If the players don't care about the cause, it's not going to work. Terra Genesis was very easy because it's a game about terraforming. It's a game about making a planet into this from barren wasteland to glorious, lush, amazing situation. SpongeBob, again, easy game about cooking with SpongeBob. Kids hungry. Easy match there. And so it's about finding and talking to your players about what do they actually care about, what causes do they want to support, and then finding the cause to support it. Not the other way around, because remember, the way I think about it is I'm the custodian of my players' wallets here. I'm not the one actually donating all these trees, planting them all. My players are. They're the ones who are doing all this, because if they're making an eye. Buying an IAP, it's their direct cash. If they're watching ads, it's their time. Either way, it's not mine. And so think about it in terms of what they care about and what they want to get behind is the important thing. So we have another game where I think I'll probably go with tree planting on it as again. Mm-hmm. It's another game about space and exploration. So that one will probably be tree planting. I can't make promises for games that I don't run, unfortunately, but I'm pushing around them for things similar to what we did with SpongeBob or other ways to do it. But it's all about finding the right partner, finding the right game, and finding the right, or making sure the players actually care about it.
And also part of the model is making certain you know who your valuable players are. They're the ones that are either going to buy an in-app purchase, they're going to view ads. Knowing who they are is part of it. Knowing how they got there is also really important for looking for a cohort, for example. How do you approach this? How do you identify and inspire your most valuable, your most engaged players?
I've got to head out in a moment, but to briefly answer the question, it is that you make them feel important, you make them feel special, and you reach out to them on a personal level via some VIP program, or depending on how your game is structured, you could just reach out to them on a more personalized level, make sure their experience and their time and their money is going somewhere, and make sure that they actually feel that is the broad conclusion to that. The exact way you do that varies drastically by game to game, but that's what the community team is very involved in doing, making sure they're aware of what's going on in the game, when updates are coming out, and all of that.
Well, Hunter, it's been a real lesson in understanding not just how to design for retention, but also design for something even, I think, more that brings more satisfaction is gameplay that matters, not just for the profits, but also for the purpose. So I want to thank you for sharing all those stories with us today.
Thank you, Peggy. It's been a pleasure.
And before I let you go, because I know I have to let you go, people are going to want to talk to you, Hunter. I want to talk to you. I want to catch up with you for your next bit of news and maybe write about it at Pocket Game or whatever. So you're not going to get away that easily. People will want to connect with you. What's the best way to do it? What's the best channel?
You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm fairly active there. Hunter Bogley at LinkedIn. Yeah, just poke me on there.
There you go. And that's exactly what they'll do. That's exactly what I'll do. So thanks again, Hunter, for taking the time.
Thanks, Peggy. Have a great day.
And that, my friends, is a wrap. Of course, Hunter has shared his journey into help marketers and organizations drive customer connection and retention. CleverTap has curated the latest presentations from the CleverTap Quarterly for you on YouTube. CleverTap Quarterly is the company's flagship event. It offers insights around the state of the industry, latest platform innovations, as well as best practices you don't want to miss from practitioners. So learn from the best. It's all over at CleverTap Quarterly. The playlist, as I said, on YouTube, so check that out. And if you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, Peggy. Peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you can find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. You can also check out this and all earlier episodes of our show by going to WMR.fm, or you can see our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Speaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. And don't forget, of course, video, as always, powered by The Groove on YouTube. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.